It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to KCBS In Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In Depth.
We are drawing ever closer to November and to when America will decide who will be the next president. According to most polls, at least so far, Vice President Kamala Harris holds a narrow lead over former President Donald Trump. But here in California, especially among Latino voters, support seems to be tipping a bit more blue. Welcome to KCBS In Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. A recent statewide survey has found that Harris has a strong lead over Trump among California's Latino communities, 60% choosing Harris, 28% with Trump. But this poll looked at so much more when it comes to what Latino voters are concerned about this election season. To help us delve deeper into all of this, I'm joined by Christian Arana, Vice President of Civic Power and Policy at the Latino Community Foundation, which conducted the poll. Thank you so much for being here and joining me on In Depth.
Thank you so much.
This recent poll that was conducted, let's get into some of the details. But the first thing I want to know is, you know, what were the questions that your organization was putting forth to the Latino community in California?
Yeah, so this was a huge opportunity to ask the Latino electorate in the state of California what their thoughts are in preparation for this upcoming election. So obviously, one of the things that we wanted to find out about is what were their top issues. What we found in this poll is that just your bread and butter economic issues were the top issues for the community. So the cost of living, housing, jobs, these were the top three issues for the Latino electorate in the state of California. In addition to that, we also wanted to ask the community about their preferences heading into this presidential election. Vice President Kamala Harris overwhelmingly has support of the Latino community for the presidential race. When you think about other races that are happening in the state of California, the U.S. Senate race, I think people often forget that there are other races to vote for during elections. And so Californians will have an opportunity to decide who their next U.S. senator is. And according to our poll, Congressman Adam Schiff is leading former baseball player Steve Garvey 47-25. And so these were the types of things that we were asking the community, on top of the fact of just regular policy issues. You know, what is the community thinking about the child tax credit, immigration, artificial intelligence, given that that's a huge topic right now in our state? You know, looking ahead in the next couple of weeks, you know, we're hoping that this data is valuable, not just for the candidates and the campaigns, but for the media. And for anyone interested in learning more about Latino voters, given that we're such a huge block of the electorate here in the state of California.
Well, that last thing you said right there is something I've been thinking about quite a bit this year as we've been ramping up closer and closer to the election in November. You know, and according to some research out there, Pew Research, as a matter of fact, Latinos have grown at the second fastest rate of any major racial and ethnic group in the United States electorate since the last presidential election. So considering some of what you were saying there, how does that type of knowledge translate to the power at polls when we are talking about election time for the Latinos, not just in California, but really across the country?
Well, yeah, I mean, just looking at the pure cold hard numbers, there are over 36 million of us in this country that are eligible to vote. In the state of California alone, you're talking nearly 9 million Latinos that are eligible to vote. I think just to put things into context, Mary, like there are more Latinos that are eligible to vote in the state of California than the entire population of Arizona. So you're talking about a sizable group of people who can vote in elections. And just considering what's at stake, right? Obviously, California may be a foregone conclusion when it comes to the presidential election. Historically, the state has gone for Democrats over the last couple of decades. But when you dig deeper into other races in which Latino voters might be consequential, it's the congressional races that are happening in places like the Central Valley, the Inland Empire, Orange County. It's also the ballot propositions, right? I think people should also understand that you are probably voting on issues related to housing, criminal justice, marriage equality. And, you know, while these propositions may not take as much oxygen as a presidential race, they're no less important because any issue out there does, in fact, affect the Latino community. And so we're hoping that this information out there gives people a good sense of where we are as a community and actually motivates, no matter who you are, whether you're working on a campaign or it's your neighbor, that every person who is eligible to vote should go out there and voice their opinion because it's good for our democracy at the end of the day.
Well, and I definitely want to get into some of the key findings of this poll. You mentioned, you know, some of the issues that Latino voters were overwhelmingly, you know, focusing on, like cost of living, housing costs, jobs, the economy. And of course, this is something I think that a lot of people are thinking about overall when they are getting ready to step up and place their vote. But one thing you mentioned there was, you know, that there are other races going on. There are other other factors that voters are focusing on that are important in more central locations. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, is there much of a shift there if California Latinos are seeming to very much go towards Democrat? Is that the same on these other races outside of the presidential race?
Yeah. So one of the questions we asked in this poll was about who Latinos were supporting in their local congressional district. And in that question, over half of Latinos in the state of California said that they're probably going to vote for the Democratic candidate. You know, a little less than one in five Latinos that are still undecided on who they're going to vote for in their local congressional district. And so this is important to point out because Republicans right now in the U.S. House of Representatives have a very slim majority. California has about five competitive congressional districts. And in each of those districts, there's a sizable chunk of Latino voters that are eligible to vote and who can vote. And so ultimately, and we'll see what happens after election night, and quite frankly, in the weeks after the election, because as you remember, it's going to take time to count all the votes in the state of California. But I'm convinced that after all the votes are counted, it's Latinos in California in places like Delano, in places like Orange County, Palm Springs, that it's going to be their votes that are going to decide the balance of power in Washington and ultimately could in fact decide what kind of policies we're putting forth over the next generation in this country.
That just sort of nods once more to what we were just speaking about, which is that voting power that the Latino community has in California and across the country. All right, so let's dig into some of the key findings of the poll. We've touched on what the overwhelming issues that they're focused on. And you mentioned that Kamala Harris does seem to have a strong lead over Donald Trump across, I believe, the demographic segments. Mm-hmm. How did that break down? And was there any surprise that that was the case?
No, I think there's no surprise when it comes to the Latino electorate in the state of California in terms of their support of Democrats. I think if you remember, 30 years ago, former California Governor Pete Wilson was promulgating Proposition 187, right? This was a proposition that sought to ban social services for undocumented immigrants. And over the course of these past 30 years, Latinos not only became citizens, they became registered voters. They even ran for office. And you know, over these past 30 years, they've become more aligned with the Democratic Party. What we're seeing in our poll today is that that's still the case. Even on the question of the favorability of Vice President Kamala Harris, 62% of Latinos like her. When you look at her opponent, former President Donald Trump, 61% don't like him. And so when you put them head to head, Vice President Kamala Harris is still overwhelmingly winning over Latino voters in the state of California. That being said, you know, from the position that we stand here at the Latino Community Foundation, you can't take any vote for granted. You got to get out there and you got to talk to the community about why it's important to vote, hear what the issues are that are facing the community, and then have an open conversation about what they can do together should they be elected to address a lot of these issues. You know, as I mentioned with Prop 187, that was such a shocking moment for the community. And one thing I learned in American politics is that you can't take anything for granted. you know, Democrats may have a hold the Latino community one day. It may not be the case 30 years from now. And so it's incumbent upon any party, any candidate, to make sure that they're continuing to engage the community. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
And you mentioned, you know, talking about propositions. I know that, of course, there are several that are getting a lot of focus. One of the big ones is Proposition 33. Has there been any indication to what the Latino community is feeling about some of these big profile propositions that are on the ballot this year?
Yeah, so Proposition 33, the proposition on rent control, 66% of Latinos in the city of California said that they're probably going to vote yes on this. As I mentioned, if Latinos in the state are saying to us that housing is a major issue for them, then they're also aware that there are propositions related to housing on the ballot and that they themselves can take action and help solve these issues without even having to vote for an elected official. So that's one. Another one is Proposition 4, the climate bond. If you remember, the California legislature made sure that this was on the ballot. It's $10 billion to fund environmental protection projects, water infrastructure projects, help prevent more massive floods across the state. Another 66% of Latinos said that they were going to vote yes on this. When you look at when environmental disasters happen in this state, it's usually Latino communities that are facing this at the forefront of this. And so our community is telling us that they are absolutely in support of this. One other proposition that we did poll on was Prop 3, the marriage equality one. So if voters remember, back in 2008, the same year that we elected Barack Obama as our president, Californians said that marriage is between a man and a woman. That language is still in our state's constitution, even though the Supreme Court, made marriage equal for everybody, right? 60% of Latinos said that they would vote yes on Prop 3, which would establish a right to marry as equal for everyone in the state constitution. That one is important to point out because if people remember, the vote was kind of split, not just among Latinos, but among everybody. But somehow the blame got shifted over towards the Latino community when it came to marriage equality. Over this past decade and then some, public opinion has shifted in the Latino community to the point where 60% are saying yes. They want marriage as equal for everyone in the state constitution. And this proposition will most likely pass in November.
In Depth will return after a moment. Just hearing what you were saying there, does this show to you perhaps changing attitudes that, you know, within the Latino community as far as looking towards the future and what that looks like for their, you know, for the Latino community, but also just as Californians? Does this reflect how the community has changed over time with their political views, perhaps, or motivations?
No, absolutely. And I think it's a testament to the organizing of a lot of the community-based organizations that the Latino Community Foundation has supported over these last couple of years. You know, when I look at something like the like Proposition 3, right, for marriage equality, you know, there are organizations in the Bay Area, for example, that that work every single day to engage Latino communities and teach them about acceptance and inclusion. This work is not cheap. it takes robust resources to do this. And, you know, and we've been happy to add our little grain of sand to the effort. And so, you know, over the course of these 15 plus years since Prop 8 was passed, it's those local leaders that are doing the quiet work, but important work to make sure that we get to a point where the Latino electorate is saying, like, yeah, like we want to make sure that marriage is equal for everybody. And that speaks to the rest of the propositions that I mentioned, right? I think people often don't think of Latinos as environmental voters. and yet our community is telling us that they overwhelmingly want the state to spend $10 billion to fund environmental projects, right? And that's just decades of us experiencing you know, lack of clean air, lack of clean water. We're tired of it. Wildfires, you know, that's also been a big thing over the last decade. But that's been our local organizations that have put in the work and often have translated a lot of that pain and trauma in our communities into tangible action. And so I'm hopeful that come November, whatever results we'll see that the Latino community has literally pronounced itself in the electorate to make sure that they're the ones driving a more progressive California.
Well, and I want to touch on one more thing on the that the poll addressed that was new for that, which is speaking about artificial intelligence. And this is something that across the board, I think everyone has concerns, thoughts, insight and input on this, onto how they feel that this is going to play a role in our lives from here on out. What did the Latino voters have to say about AI?
Yeah, so what's interesting is that more often than not, people don't associate this conversation of artificial intelligence with the Latino community. It's been a conversation that's been dominated by big tech and what the tech industry wants. But given that the fact that Latinos are 40% of the state's population, we're almost 20% of the nation's population, and that this technology is accelerating rapidly, it's changing our economy, it's changing our democracy. Like, who do you think that is going to affect? It's our community. And so we wanted to leverage this poll to get a pulse check on what our community is thinking. To that end, the questions that we asked and the results that we got, Latino voters expressed broad support for AI regulation. A lot of us are concerned about potential job loss and what the implications of that may be for our community. About 8 in 10 Latino voters in the state said that they would more likely vote for a candidate if they supported regulating artificial intelligence to ensure that it's safe, secure, and trustworthy. At the same time, if people remember, the governor recently announced a new effort to work with community colleges, for example, to increase AI literacy for folks in the state. We asked about that of Latinos, and 67% said that they would be interested in learning more about AI if it was offered in their school or at their workplace. So these results are important because, as your listeners may know, we're having a profound conversation around artificial intelligence in our state, whether or not we should regulate it. The governor, unfortunately, vetoed a bill that would have addressed a lot of these issues that was put forth by San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener. We're hopeful that in the next legislative cycle and in future ones, and potentially with our next governor, that they understand that the Latino community, given how big of a population we are, that number one, that we are paying attention to this issue, and that we want to make sure that this technology, while important, needs to make sure that it's taken into consideration our viewpoints and that we're leveraging the best of what it is while safeguarding against the worst of what it could be.
Now we're going to get a little more broad here. This, of course, is focusing on the Latino vote in California. But I did see a recent poll that found that while Harris is leading former President Donald Trump among Latino voters, that advantage has declined towards Democrats to the lowest level in the past 4 presidential cycles. You know, we've seen that she has a stronger hold here. But, you know, what do you think is happening around the country for the Latino communities where the numbers are different?
No, absolutely. I mean, it just speaks to the fact that Latinos are not a monolith, right? I think that gets said every single election that, you know, a Latino in Fresno, California is dramatically different than a Latino that lives in Dallas, Texas, right?
And that's a good point to bring up, right? No community is a monolith.
Yeah. And some issues are more important than others, right? Given which Latino community that you're speaking to, you know, as I mentioned, housing is a huge issue for Latinos in California, just given how that is a very pressing issue for a lot of us. That necessarily may not be the case in another state. But to your question about, you know, Harris's support in the Latino community overall in this country, it has dropped among our community, because when you look at, you know, presidents, well, when Hillary Clinton was running for president and Joe Biden and Barack Obama, the numbers were, you know, a little higher, right? But this is where I return to the point of why engagement is just so important when it comes to presidential elections. It shouldn't matter whether you're running for president or for Berkeley school board. You have to talk to the community about what you're proposing to do and what you've already done for them, right? I think this is also a great challenge because Latinos are not a monolith. How do you have a unifying message that speaks to us as a community, but also speaks to the nuances of what we wanna hear, right? Because issues that may matter to Venezuelans may be a little bit different than, you know, Mexican Americans that live in San Francisco, for example. That's one thing, engagement. The second thing I'll mention is that I feel like there should be a much more robust conversation around the role that misinformation and disinformation is playing in this presidential election. There's going to be a lot of things that are not true that are said in this election that unfortunately get filtered down into community. And you know, when you look at let's say a Latino that lives in the Fruitvale that has 2-3 jobs and their only source of news is TikTok, I want to know, like, who's making sure that that news clip is accurate, and whether or not it can be trusted. And so, you know, it's something just to point out as the election continues, because, you know, it's just important that the community gets engaged, but in a way that brings forth facts and not lies.
What is voter outreach like for the Latino community in California? Do you feel that enough is being done to reach voters? And are aspects of that something that could maybe be utilized in other Latino communities across the country leading up to November?
Yeah, there's always room for improvement when it comes to reaching out to our voters. What I often say, Mary, is why do white people vote? Usually they get the mailers, they get the text messages, they get the commercials in English. Candidates often show up to the town halls or the meetings that are put together. It's a whole menu of items that other voters have the benefit of having from candidates and political parties. That often doesn't happen in the Latino community, and it should happen more, right? More often than not, when somebody runs a campaign, it's like, oh gosh, like, I see an electorate here that speaks an English a language other than English. Like, that costs money to translate things. You know, people want to put on debates. They want to put on meetings to hear from this, but, like, obviously a candidate's time is so extremely limited. But here's the interesting thing is that over the last decade, Latinos are responsible for over 90% of the state's growth in the electorate. So more and more and more, we're becoming a bigger slice of the electorate here in the state of California. And if we continue to get ignored, right, if we don't get the text message, if we don't have the candidate show up to our town hall, or if we don't get the mailer, if we don't get on people's list, how on earth are we going to show up to vote in an election? What I often say is that for any voter, Latino or not, how would anyone in their right mind vote for something or someone they've never met? It just doesn't make sense. Essentially, this election starts next week. Our ballots are getting sent in the mail. So people should be expecting their ballots by the end of next week, hopefully. Now is an opportune time to get out there and talk to the electorate. Don't just pop in into one of our small businesses. Like, invite the small business to host a roundtable of the community and hear about the issues, make the case, and ask for their votes. Right. And this is something that I hope is happening not just in the state of California, but across the country, because ultimately what this comes down to is our democracy. Right. I know a lot of people are concerned about whether or not, you know, former President Trump will accept the results of this election. You know, that's a conversation to be had. I'm also concerned about the strength of our democracy. If our community is not showing up to vote, that's not good. Right. Our democracy should hear from every single voice. I'm trying to make sure that every single voice is being heard by getting more people out to vote in this election.
So to kind of wrap things up here, with all the information found from this poll and all we've been discussing right now, you know, what does all of this mean for the future of the Latino vote in California beyond the presidential election?
I think what this holds for the future is that no candidate, whether you're running for president or governor or mayor of San Francisco, you cannot win any of these offices without speaking to our community. Some people may have thought that they couldn't have gotten away with it, but as the numbers are showing, we're becoming much bigger slices of the electorate, statewide, regionally, locally. And there's going to come a point where any candidate running for office needs to make a fundamental decision. Like, do you want to win? Because if that's the case, like, you need to engage our community. And if that requires a nuanced strategy to speak to older voters, younger voters, voters that may come from different countries or may speak different languages, then so be it. If the numbers continue to show that Latino voter turnout is 25 points behind white voters, for example, how is that democratic? when a small slice of people are making decisions on behalf of a much larger population, as we grow in numbers, the investments need to follow. Because ultimately, I obviously understand a candidate's first goal is to win and to put forth their policies. But at the end of the day, this is about our democracy. Every voice needs to be heard. Because when we do, and when we get to that point, you know, we move closer to the country that we all deserve.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In-Depth at kcbsradio.com. You can also hear In-Depth episodes on the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. For KCBS and In-Depth, I'm Mary Hughes.
Listening to KCBS In-Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.